Alaska's congressional delegation appreciated President Obama's call last night to cut red tape and spur employment, energy development, and innovation, but the Republicans in their ranks question his plan to make that happen. The president delivered his State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress and the U.S. House chamber. His comments on energy especially interested Alaskans.
And nowhere is the promise of innovation greater than in American-made energy. Over the last 3 years, we've opened millions of new acres for oil and gas exploration. And tonight I'm directing my administration to open more than 75% of our potential offshore oil and gas resources.
But Alaska's Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski says he's painting a rosier picture than reality.
The president almost made it appear that he was taking credit for the increased production in this country for oil and gas, when, in fairness, that has come about through technology that has developed over the year, most notably fracking, policies that were put in place through the Bush administration that are just now bearing fruit. We recognize that it takes a long time. And the increased activity that we are seeing on state and private lands.
Murkowski says she was pleasantly surprised. The president spent a good 6.5 minutes of what was about an hour-long speech talking about energy, and included a popular Republican talking point about having an all-of-the-above strategy, meaning it should include all types of energy from development of solar to nuclear. He included in the mix natural gas, touting a domestic supply that could last 100 years. Murkowski says the White House now needs to keep bureaucracy from hamstringing the process.
I did note with great interest that he seemed to be very favorably inclined to natural gas, which is good. It's critical for this country in terms of the resource and in terms of the jobs. It's going to be very important for us in Alaska as we seek to find a market for our natural gas. But I also recognize that there are some within his agencies that are not so keen on all aspects of natural gas.
Alaska's Democratic Senator Mark Begich says he was also pleased to hear President Obama linger on energy issues, but he wants more details, especially as it relates to the 49th state.
You can't talk about oil and gas when you don't talk about Alaska. We're an important part of this equation. So I feel he could have been more specific about how he's going to do that. I hope in the next coming weeks that will be more detail about how Alaska will play the role in helping supply oil and gas to this country, especially because he mentioned OCS. That's where the biggest fines potentially will be in Chukchi and Beaufort.
Begich says he heard an overall upbeat message about where the American economy could head in the months to come, and he liked the president's call to cut down on wasted paperwork, stalling, and regulations.
But I also heard him say, in regards to road construction and infrastructure, to cut the red tape through executive order, I'm all for that. We got a lot of great projects in Alaska and across this country, and DOT and the bureaucracy over there just kills these projects and costs a lot of money.
Alaska's Republican Congressman Don Young gave the president only a couple standing ovations, most notably when Obama said it's time to stop rewarding businesses that ship jobs overseas, and called for tax reforms to give companies incentives to hire American. But Young dismissed the president's energy policy as smoke and mirrors. Senator Murkowski summed up a sentiment echoed by her Alaska colleagues.
He was saying the right words. We need to pull back on regulations, but he must put action behind the words.
How much will get done in the coming months is questionable, given the partisan divides in Congress and the November battle for the White House and control of the House and Senate. Last night, though, Alaska's delegation sat with members of the other party. Congressman Young, who rarely attends State of the Union speeches, went at the invitation of Hawaii Democrat Mazie Hirono. Senator Begich sat with Maine Republican Olympia Snowe, and Senator Murkowski, a big proponent of the movement for bipartisan seating, was joined by Colorado Democrat Mark Udall. The The price of crude oil is down this morning. Brent crude is at $109.87 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate is at $98.25 a barrel. Gold is down $14 in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,651.70 an ounce. Republican leaders in the state House are pushing new legislation as a crucial step in getting an in-state natural gas pipeline built. House Speaker Mike Chenault yesterday said the measure would incorporate three bills which already passed the House last session, as well as add several new provisions.
I think that the state of Alaska is ready to move forward with the gas line project. And as I said, we're not picking winners or losers. But we just want to make sure, one, we have a place at the table, and two, that Not only those that are involved in the pipeline may know that the state of Alaska is ready to move forward, but certainly any consumers that may want to buy the state of Alaska's gas.
The new omnibus gas line legislation removes language that limits an in-state gas line to run from the North Slope to Tidewater and exempts an in-state pipeline from state and local taxes during construction. The Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation could determine ownership and operation of the pipeline, issue bonds, and manage the assets. The AGDC would also become a subsidiary of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and brought under common management with the voter-created Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority, or ANGDA. Incorporated into the new bill is an earlier measure that would establish a fund to receive $200 million already appropriated by the legislature for open season work. The legislation will be introduced as the new House Bill 9. It has not yet been assigned to any committees for review. The state ferry Taku may be back in action tomorrow after its second breakdown this month. The 370-passenger ship was tied up in Juneau Sunday night because of a problem with its propeller control system. Officials then canceled a round-trip sailing to Prince Rupert. Marine Highway Chief Mike Newsell says the Coast Guard determined the Taku was not safe to sail.
There are two systems for the two different propellers, so that there's redundancy. If one of them fails, the other one could control both. But we will not be allowed to operate on just one controlling both shafts, because if it fails, then there is no control. It's loss of propulsion, which is obviously a bad thing in the restricted waters of southeast Alaska.
The Taku stopped sailing about a week and a half ago after a hairline crack was found in its hull. It returned to service after being patched up. Newsell says the two problems are not connected. He says repairs should allow the Taku to resume its route tomorrow afternoon, but Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan lost port calls. The ferry Matanuska filled in with a stop in Cake. Officials also canceled the ferry Lacontes Juneau to Haines round trip yesterday for equipment maintenance and testing. They say it should resume sailing today. And a partially eaten deer found in a Juneau neighborhood on Monday has Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologists scratching their heads. The bloody carcass was discovered at the top of 4th Street on Star Hill by a group of neighbors, including Amanda Chisholm.
The deer was kind of eerily placed directly under the streetlight on the 4th Street walkway next to a stump, and it looked like it had been drug up a few feet from where it initially started to bleed, and the hindquarters is what was, like, attacked, you could say. Just looked like it had been chewed up pretty good on its hindquarters.
After a preliminary investigation, Fish and Game Area Management biologist Ryan Scott says it's not clear how the animal died. He says it's unusual to find a partially eaten deer in a residential neighborhood. Scott says it was an older female that may have been having a hard time this winter. He says several new paw prints were found around the animal, so it's possible that it was attacked by a dog. Scott says another biologist followed deer tracks up the hill from the carcass and saw a lone coyote. But he says the coyote was probably just scavenging and followed its nose to the dead deer. Scott says the carcass was removed from the area.